Reigning NBA Coach of the Year Monty Williams has received a contract extension from the Phoenix Suns. And on today's show, we'll talk about the legacy of Monty so far in the Valley and what the timing of this extension tells us about the Suns' faith in Williams going forward.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past five seasons and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. A big thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen today and every day. Going one more week, 5 days a week, and then in August, assuming Kevin Durant is still a Brooklyn Net, we will go to three times a week. But of course, when any news breaks, keep it right here. If you're finding us on your favorite podcast platform, hit subscribe or follow. Make sure this show is in your feed every single morning. And if you're finding us on YouTube, a big thank you, of course. That's the best way to support the show. So hit subscribe down below if you're finding us that way and leave me a comment telling me your thoughts on Monty Williams's tenure in the Valley so far, because that is what we're going to reminisce a little bit about today. But also, we're going to talk about the specifics of this extension, because I think that is pretty important as well. Today's show, guys, brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all year long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Let's get right to it. So we are hearing that it is a quote-unquote multi-year extension for Monty. So he initially signed a five-year deal back in 2019 when he was made head coach of the Suns, which was pretty unprecedented, especially for Robert Sarver to give out 5 years in general, but especially with how dire the situation was in the Valley at that time. Monty did not have to prove himself or get another extension right away after succeeding. He got that 5 years, so this will be it'll be multiple years in addition to the two that he has left on that first contract, okay? So we don't know how many years. I will try to find out myself, but definitely no promises. If it's not already out there, it probably means people do not want it to be out there, but it's a big day to celebrate if you're a Suns fan, if you are a head coach, the head coach himself in Monty. Coming off of two coach-elected Coach of the Year awards, and then finally this year, the media-elected award, he is well, well, well deserving. But I want to start with the timing of all of this, because I do think, in terms of the immediate, it's kind of the most important part of this, and I'll tell you what I mean. I think during the post-Steve Nash rebuild years, basically the Ryan McDonough era, but even before that, a disaster like what happened in Game 7 against the Mavericks would have typically been a complete implosion event, right? Heads would have rolled, so to speak. I think I didn't talk about it because there was no inkling that it would ever happen. But even I, in that week after the Game 7 loss, did find myself thinking, like, is Monty going to get fired? Because I knew he only had 2 years left, so at that point it's like, okay, you can stomach paying a coach to not work for you with 2 years left. And that was just so bad that it felt like a possibility. But I think this extension, and of course the fact that they kept him, and honestly you could even group in the fact that Ayton was re-signed in that narrative as well, that pattern as well, because all of that shows us that is not the status quo here anymore. And to me, that's largely because Monty is just different than all of the other people who came in basically, I would say, since Alvin Gentry left, but really since Steve Nash was traded. I just think that this entire organization, but especially James Jones and Robert Sarver, they just trust in Monty. And they trusted in him when they gave him those 5 years from the jump. They trusted him when, even on small things, like, hey, we're going to allow you to to sign a real assistant coaching staff. Bring in people that you know, pay them what they're worth, be a competitively organized coaching staff in a way that the Suns was just not. I mean, Igor Kokoschkov's staff, there's nothing about the staff in 2018-19 that would lead you to believe Igor picked it. Nothing. There was Joe Prunty, who was kind of like the guy, if we have to fire Igor, who can step in and not be a disaster, right? There was the same thing with Earl Watson, with Jay Triano. Like, those little things, as well as the big things like the length of his contract and the amount that they were, you know, willing to just put their reputation, I guess Robert Sarver's reputation doesn't have anything to do with it. He's the owner of the team, but put their trust, I guess, is the word I'm just going to have to come back to, behind him. And I think now what you're seeing with this extension is that trust continues. They trust him to get the team back to the top again soon, right? I mean, they're not going anywhere, but after game 7, some teams would crumble. And I think that this is an indication that they believe he can prevent that from happening, right? And then also, of course, with Ayton again, they trust him to fix that relationship and to continue to build up DeAndre Ayton as a player on the floor, because that's the thing James Jones echoed in his comments to Mark Spears in the article that was written, as well as in the press release, that they expect DeAndre Ayton to get better. Well, whose responsibility is that? Well, it's Ayton's, of course, but number two on that list is obviously Monty Williams. And so the two guys I think that you would have been the most nervous about coming off that game 7 in terms of what was going to happen next with them would have been Monty and DeAndre, and they're both coming back. And I think, again, that is due to the trust that they have in their head coach. And then the timing. So from Monty's standpoint, I think it's obvious, right? It's good to get taken care of now. I mean, it's always good to get an extension as a coach. There's not a lot of guys who would say no to that. It's so precarious in the NBA to even get one of these jobs and keep it. So that's not too much of a surprise. But it's also good timing in terms of more changes might be coming, right? We know the Kevin Durant pursuit is still on, and the fact that Monty can be locked into place so that he's not subject to whatever the whims of the new, you know, figureheads and important people in this franchise are. I'm not expecting negativity there. I think KD and Monty obviously have a good relationship, so I don't even mean that specifically, but you just see when stars come, when change happens in a franchise and great players and their representatives and groups come into power, so to speak, that tends to result in change for the head coach. Again, I'm not saying KD would do that to Monty. Obviously, this case is a little bit unique because they do have that relationship from before, but you just look to the Clippers. Ty Lue is in charge there now. The Lakers just changed their head coach after Vogel. The Brooklyn Nets themselves moved from Jacques Vaughn to Steve Nash, right? These things tend to happen, so it makes a lot of sense. It's good on Monty that he can get that locked in, so he's not, his money, his security is not subject to whatever craziness eventually comes when superstars make the rounds. From the Sun standpoint, doing the extension now shows that they trust Monty with the team that either has Kevin Durant or doesn't, right? That they're not we saw that with Ty Lue in with the Lakers, if you remember, where they only wanted to give him a contract that was going to be as long as LeBron's contract. They thought, you're only a good coach with LeBron. I think that's shown to be silly when it comes to Lue, but that's the mentality that we sometimes see. So what this extension does from a Sun standpoint is it communicates to Monty, to the rest of the league, to the fan base, this is our guy regardless of what happens the rest of the offseason. And lastly, I just feel like this solidifies that Monty and Booker are the two glue pieces of this entire franchise. I know I haven't mentioned Booker a lot, but without those two, there's nothing for Kevin Durant to come to. There's nothing for Chris Paul to come to. There's nothing, right? And that's just such a the fact that there are two of those, that it's a coach and a player. I've talked and written about this so much since they hired Monty, and I think it's key. You always have that in the NBA. You don't usually just have one or the other, right? You have Nick Nurse and Kawhi Leonard. You have Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard. You have Steve Kerr and Steph Curry. You have Phil Jackson and Kobe Bryant. Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. You have on and on down the line. You typically have both. You have to have one at least, but you typically have both. And now Booker has that guy. That's just such a monumental step forward. This is a continuation of it from Booker's first 5 years, where he had a new coach every season, and we know all of the chaos that ensnared him that entire time. Monty represents stability, that floor raising, and everything else. Next, I want to explain why so much of the success of this entire rebuild can be traced back to him being hired in 2019 to keep that thread going. First, today's show, guys, again, brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting odds, lines, info, analysis, news, podcasts, even all year long. We have the World Cup odds. I'm going to keep hammering it home. Friday, Black Friday, we have Monday of Thanksgiving week. Things really get started. The USA is favored by, they are minus 128 to win. The over-under is two total goals against Wales. And then, as I said, Black Friday, they do not have the odds up. I guess they're going to wait on us. But let's see, what does England have in store here? Their first game, Iran, is, they are minus 125. So somehow they are less favorited than the United States. So if you'd like to see the English lose and the United States win, maybe put some money on the money line there. Maybe do a little over on goals for the U.S. if you feel like scoring is going to be what the U.S. is able to do against Wales, not the best competitor. And then maybe you just pick Iran over England, because that's a nice little matchup there. Plus 900 on the money line. So there is that. NBA stuff, futures, the baseball regular season, all of it. Bet Online, hit their mobile app or their website. Learn more about all the latest action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Monty Williams was hired again in the summer of 2019, and the entire trajectory of the franchise changed. I actually think, and I've talked about this in the years since, but this is one where I think the Suns fan base and the local media, I think we properly rated it. Like, it's one of those things where you look back and you're like, every single thing changed when that guy got signed. But if you remember, we all kind of knew that. Like, everybody was completely in awe that it actually happened, that a coach of that caliber and that reputation chose the Suns. And of course, that was colored by the fact that he chose the Suns over the Lakers. But it made the Suns respectable again, right? It was this guy who everybody in the league loved, who there was a legitimate bidding war for in terms of the coaching carousel that offseason, and he picked to come here. They were respectable again. I think also their ceiling jumped up in an instant, right? And that was, I think, maybe even more than the respectability, frankly, was what I think made all of us turn our eyebrows up a little bit. Like, huh, something's different here, because he's a genuinely good coach, somebody who changes, who lifts up everybody on the roster and makes you a team that you might not be great right away, but you're not going to be god-awful, which is what we had all gotten used to, right? And I think, again, every growth point since then can really truly be traced back to him. Obviously, Devin Booker was an elite offensive player, an up-and-coming superstar in this league. But aside from that, nothing was there. There was no meat on the bone, really. You know, Mikal Bridges wasn't even a starter. He didn't even play all that much his rookie year, all things considered. DeAndre Ayton was an relatively inefficient, but, you know, a stat patter, but not a winning talent yet. And there wasn't much else on the roster, right? They became dominant as a team defense. Monty was able to help turn Ayton into somebody who was good, finding his true star potential on both ends of the court. Booker was able to get comfortable finally in an offense that actually catered to his strengths, that didn't ask him to do everything, but found things that he was already great at and built around that. You saw role players finally start to flourish here after years of the front office not even bothering to bring those in. Dario Saric, Cameron Payne, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, guys who were either journeymen or underachievers or question marks who came here and made a real impact. I think that's one of the biggest marks of a great coach, is not only finding a system that works for your stars, but also having that system be something that can lift up mediocre or journeyman type of players, and Monty did that right away. And then, of course, the thing that I think he's become most known for, but should never be forgotten, is that winning culture of accountability, of brotherhood, of legitimacy. And, I mean, you can count everything. The ability to get Chris Paul, to have him even want, think of this as a place that would be worth coming to. That doesn't happen without Monty. Becoming a free agent destination where somebody like Crowder or JaVale McGee would even want to come doesn't happen without Monty Williams. Winning at a high level where you're able to, you know, sustain win streaks and win ugly games, win dominant games, have the fan base be behind you on your home floor. None of that happens without Monty Williams. And of course, most recently, you don't get a Kevin Durant trade request to the Phoenix Suns without Monty Williams. And the Suns are a team that has an identity now, I think is the best bottom line to put on this. He's a real North Star for the franchise, Monty is. And they're a team that actually matters here, right? Like, lots of things might go into that. They matter here in a way that they didn't for a really long time. But it's mostly because Monty Williams chose to come here. And giving him that extension is just a reinforcement to everybody that that's true. And a reinforcement to him that that is still something that they trust him to do no matter what comes next for this organization. Let's put Monty's career so far with the Suns only, just these three seasons, into context too, because he is on his way to being historically important and also already one of the best in the entire league. Let's dive into that first, a quick break. Monty Williams' winning percentage in his first three seasons as Suns head coach is 65.6%. If that was something that he could stand on alone without the Pelicans' years prior to that, he would rank ninth all-time, if I'm doing my math correctly. In Phoenix, he's already third all-time in wins. Wins, not even percentage. Wins alone behind the two guys in the Ring of Honor, Cotton Fitzsimmons, Paul Westphal. Okay, he's already basically one of the best. He is one of the best head coaches in the history of one of the best franchises in the history of the NBA. Like, in three seasons, a finals appearance, two of the best seasons in franchise history, and then even that first season, which obviously doesn't do much to pad the win total or the winning percentage because he was below 500 there. Even that is something that we'll always remember in terms of the importance of it because it turned everything around. And I don't know where I fall on this, but I wanted to bring it up. There's somewhat of a recent phenomenon in this, especially during this player empowerment era, if you want to call it that, where head coaches make the finals in one of their first three seasons. And you kind of look back and that has been true fairly often. So maybe it's always been there. Head coaching stability in the NBA is non-existent, kind of always has been. But to do it in year two, I mean, it's basically Spoelstra, Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, and then the guys in Cleveland, Steve Kerr, I think I said. But most of those are guys that are kind of hand-picked to lead super teams, right? I mean, Spoelstra is a little bit of a unique example because actually, I don't even know if he did it in his first two seasons because he had taken over in the late 2000s before 2010 when LeBron came. So he might not even be on that list. It might be Nurse, Vogel, Blatt, Kerr, and Lou, and Monty, who did it in the first two seasons because Bud and Carlisle did it in year three. But again, Steve Kerr, they knew they needed a change for a team that was about to get a lot better. I think he might be the closest to the Suns in a way because it was a team that was already sort of on the uptick by the time they did make the finals. And in that case, it was Kerr's first year. But, you know, Budenholzer came because Giannis needed him, so to speak, right? Vogel came because they knew they needed a defensive identity around their two offensive superstars. Nick Nurse came because they needed some fresh blood, and then eventually he was able to coach Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, these are the things that we see happen. Monty's a unique example within that. He's also young, if you talk about some of those other elite coaches in the league right now. He's already getting an extension on his second NBA coaching opportunity, and he's only 50. That's pretty young, all things considered, to be on your second job already and to be getting an extension on it. Like, he didn't just get hired for his second job. Blatt, Carlisle, Budenholzer, Kerr, Nurse, all those guys were older at the same point in their careers. When Nick Nurse was a first-time head coach making the finals in 2019 with Kawhi, he was already 52, okay? Monty made the finals with his second team as a head coach in 2019. And of course, none of that's to mention the tragedy and everything else. Like, he could be, I don't mean to say that the choices he made in his personal life came at the loss of professional development, but it is just puts into greater perspective how successful he's been, considering even the years when he was coaching since his first job, he missed a lot of time. Monty's kind of the same age range, more so, of guys like Spo, Vogel, Kidd, and all those guys were labeled to be very young when they were hired, even though a lot of it was recent. I mean, you know, I guess not. No, those guys were all hired around the same time as Monty. Spo was genuinely young. Kidd was a little unique because he's a player. But that's where we should really be thinking of him. He's younger than a Mike Budenholzer or a Steve Kerr or a Nick Nurse, the other guys that he often gets mentioned next to. I just think where I want to leave this is the greatness that he has. He is somebody who is already under consideration to coach Team USA. He's respected not only by the likes of Greg Popovich or Jeff Van Gundy, some of these giant, Nate McMillan, these giants of the NBA, the last generation, an older generation of guys who vouch for Monty publicly and have only incredible things to say, but also players. And that's kind of the unique, incredible thing that I think makes me feel like the Suns would be stupid to get rid of Monty Williams anytime before he says he is done coaching basketball. Because to have as much respect from Greg Popovich as you do from, let's say, Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid is remarkable. Remarkable, right? Like, it's one thing to be the old school guy that, because look, Monty's popular with a lot of those old school coaches because he's an old school guy. He played in the era when those guys came up. He played in the same era that Nate McMillan played in, right? He played in the era that Jeff Van Gundy coached in. Monty played under Pat Riley. He coached under Greg Popovich. He coached under Nate McMillan. These are why he's so, Doc Rivers, right? He knows Doc from the days when he played alongside Doc, and then I believe might have played under Doc too. Yeah, if I'm remembering all of that correctly. But to have the Anthony Davis generation also have equal amounts of respect for you, and then of course Devin Booker and this Suns group, it's tremendous. I mean, like, there's only so many people in the history of the league that you can say threaded that needle while also winning. There have been plenty of coaches who have come up who have been well liked, right? Like Jason Kidd, up until this year, really was kind of that, right? He had all the respect from everybody because he was such a great player and had all these relationships, but he had never really won. Now he has won, but it's so rare. I mean, Kerr would be another one. A lot of them, maybe you could say, are former players or just guys who have coached forever. Budenholzer, probably another one, where he has a great relationship with Giannis, just like he does with Pop. But in three short seasons to do that, it's incredible. It really is. He's probably the single most impressive force in Arizona sports. And I mean that because of what he did at the time that he did it for this franchise. And I just think too, like, my parting thought probably is, going forward, the floor is always very high when you have a great coach. And that's kind of what I mean by force, right? Like, he, as long as he's here, the Suns are going to be respectable, good, consistent, and Beloved. And Booker, of course, you can't separate them. But Monty is that. That's what a basketball coach can be. That's what he has proven himself to be. And when the Suns hired Monty, they knew they were getting that floor raiser, right? They knew they were getting a culture setter. What Monty's proven, and what I think is so special and makes him more than well-deserving of this extension, is that he's proven to be a ceiling raiser in addition to a floor raiser. He's proven himself to also be able to be a guy who makes you a championship team from a good team. And I don't know if anybody expected that as much as we celebrated it at the time. So I think many more years of championship contention are in sight for the Suns, are coming our way here in the Valley because largely of Monty Williams. So more coverage of Monty, this team, the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, all of it as the week continues. A big thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen. Don't forget to hit follow or subscribe. Now go make Locked On NBA your second listen to catch up on all the rest of the stuff going on around the league.